everybody get a handout?
Are you sitting in here?
If you didn't, raise your hand and we'll bring one to you. Great command. Okay, I'm going to begin. Yeah, we're in the ruley crowd. So I think our experiment kind of worked. There was some great dialogue in the three tables. I got a chance to finish mine and then go to another one. It sounded like people were engaged, enthusiastic, willing to talk, which was great. We've attempted to summarize some of the themes that we heard. We heard a lot of great ideas. Not everything, not all the issues are covered, but we're highlighting themes that we did hear. There's already been some edits to some of the language that was used, and so we hope that we've captured most of what was said as accurately as possible. If there are some tweaks, let us know so that we can capture that. So, first of all, are there any translation needs? Anybody in the audience need Spanish translation? Okay. Seeing none, if you do make a comment or wish to speak, please make sure that you, we'll bring you a microphone, make sure you speak clearly. We do have a court reporter here that is recording the comments that are made. And please state your name, and we'll make sure that we capture that. Come on in. Are there any stragglers out there that I should wait for? No? Okay. So I recognize that some of you were not here this afternoon, that you are that you're just coming in today now and did not get to participate. So for those of you that weren't here earlier, basically we went through a new process. It's something we haven't tried before. I divided the group into three different tables. Each table had the same set of six questions that were part of the notice for this workshop. And we hoped to talk in the groups to hear any ideas, suggestions, what positions people took and why, and try and see if there was any commonality, whether there was some middle ground that potentially could be there. What we've done on this one pager is try to summarize that, what we heard. So For example, for number one, prescriptive versus performance, that is kind of tied to number three, so when you look at it, look at the three together. We will email a complete set of the notes that were taken today so that everyone has the chance to see that and make sure that what we portrayed is accurate to what you said. We'll also include the technical questions and the responses to those in that email. If you have not already, please leave us your email address so that we can make sure we get that to you. And like I said, we tried to consolidate themes from all the tables, so some ideas may seem contradictory to what was at your table, but for the most part, we tried to look for some themes there. There was good disclosure, lots of synergy, and interest in having some side discussions. We encourage you to do that. Build on the dialogue from today in the coming weeks, very, very soon. As we go through each question, think about it. If there are comments or suggestions on the themes, put up your hand and we'll talk about that now. And then later on we'll talk about next steps, and Kim will give us some guidance and some suggested dates for getting comments to us. Okay, so number one was prescriptive and versus performance. General favor of performance-based requirements with some specific requirements. Prescriptive requirements for sampling, replacement water. Performance-based requirements for remediation. Mapping requirements, there's no specific consensus. How do you build in adaptive management into the requirements? Needs to be protective of water quality. Get the cleanup and abatement done in such a way that you don't have to keep coming back to it. And then I'll go to number three since it's related. Specific deadlines versus remediation goals. Deadlines needed to ensure progress is being made. If not reaching a goal, don't go straight to violation. but instead look at a corrective course of action, adaptive management with the end goal and milestones, and measurement of progress. Okay, for number two, the northern and western areas in the USGS study, continue to watch low levels in the north, focusing on public health monitoring of domestic wells. And this is where there's been a little bit of editing. If there are hot spots, do something such as pumping, but not necessarily something that would require design and engineering. Don't need to remediate the entire north. As new information as part of the USGS study or other information is developed, incorporated as appropriate using adaptive management. Yes?
I would just clarify that on that point of view, don't need to remediate the entire north. I think that was meant in the context of prior to the USGS study being completed. I don't think anyone agreed that there was no need for remediation, but just until the study was completed.
And that's what I heard at our table as well. Okay. Yes. Lisa, hang on.
For group number two, I'm not seeing any of our comments in any of these bullets. We had several commenters say, do combination of items, and I'm not seeing any of those combinations recorded.
Okay, and again, this is a summary of the themes that were common. So two of the three tables may have had more commonality than the third table.
Like multiple people at one table had the same comment, was that discounted because couple tables ruled it out?
No. Okay. Kim, do you want to? When we took all of these comments.
Yeah, when we took all of the comments, I think that we looked at what was said at each
table.
The note takers did on occasion note, like, oh yes, there were multiple people at the table who said this.
Yeah.
So could it be that I'm not sure what on number two wasn't, what was the?
It was actually number one. Several people said combination of both performance and prescriptive.
It appears from reading the report.
Can you hear?
Right, but Jada? I think that was
We're unable to hear people without microphones, so if you want to talk, get a microphone so we can record it.
I think that A does reflect that, and maybe we can make that more clear. That's what we heard, that for some things people were saying prescriptive makes sense. For other things people were saying that performance makes base makes more sense. So, but in general, people were saying, you know, in general, performance requirements make sense.
I was at a different table, and I mean, I think there was. I think what Lisa's trying to say is that there was support for
combination
of the two, and that doesn't really come across at my table as well.
There was support for a combination as well. So perhaps
not that.
Okay, but I think that's what B and C are saying, is that it is a combination of both. We're talking about that there's multiple different kinds.
At my table, which you were at, there was a combination, there was a support for a combination of both performance and prescriptive-based requirements for remediation.
For remediation.
So one C, it looks like there's a preference for performance-based for that, things working. So anyway, I think that the combination is that, yes, general favor, people like the concept of a performance-based requirement in general. That was sort of the philosophical, I could get behind that from a philosophical standpoint. And then as it related to sampling and replacement water, it was more of a general favoring of, or understanding why there would be prescriptive requirements. But for 1C, there was people on both sides, you know, and there was also a support for combination related to remediation.
And we heard that at our table as well. So perhaps, I mean, this is an exercise that while you were all off for a few hours, we were working through all of the comments from all of the tables, trying to come up with a summary, and it probably needs tweaking a little bit, but the notes will reflect what was said at each table, and then maybe this can be...
Yeah,
maybe you can take a look at it. Okay, fair enough? Okay. Did I get through three? One and three. I got through two. So for number four, replacement water, I think there was general consensus to get rid of the term affected area in light of a more positive twist on things. Focus on the 10 ppb MCL. In the north, continue to monitor and provide RO as appropriate. Okay? For number... Yes?
When you say focus on the 10 ppb MCL, focus on it in what way? What do you mean?
Because that's a general statement also. The Water Board tends to make a lot of general statements that can be led to a lot of interpretation, which leads to a lot of leeway on the discharge.
Okay.
So, I mean, the 10 ppb really has no discussion in here because it's about the drinking water standards. It's about the whole house replacement. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the remediation. So...
This one's the replacement section.
We still haven't. There's still a lot of questions to that legally that haven't even been answered. So, I mean, I apologize for stepping ahead. That's not part of that discussion. But I don't feel that 10 ppb needs to be focused on until, you know, the Water Board hears stuff and other legal actions in Sacramento are done.
Sorry, Darren Banks. Thank you. Sure, this was just in context of when people would get replacement water. So it was, what we heard was, instead of focusing on the affected area, focus on those affected wells, which would be those over 10 parts per billion.
Right.
That was the context of the
state. So for number five, MRP, the counter proposal in the south, all in agreement. Now, this is somewhat shorthand, so yes.
Lori, hold on.
There we go. Okay. Yeah. It's not on.
I'm Lori Kemper with Lahontan Water Board Prosecution Team. Is that the Lahontan Water Board Prosecution Team counterproposal in the South? Is that the counterproposal people are in agreement with? I mean, that's, I'm just trying to fill in because it's not clear.
It's not really clear.
But that's what you're talking about.
So, yes. So continuing, not in agreement on the northern monitoring well sampling and southern domestic well frequency. Prescriptive requirements to transition to performance-based requirements based on data and decision tree. And we heard that at multiple tables. Yes, did you hang on? I'll get you a microphone.
Okay, my name is Betty Hernandez, and on number five, it said, should the monitoring and report program be prescriptive, performance-based, a hybrid of prescription performance or transition to a different approach.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that, I understood, is not necessarily singled out to the north and the south. What we were talking about is whether or not a well should be shut down there or not used anymore for sampling. Like if after three quarters or something, if it was consistently below and it didn't show any way of going up in that well, we eliminated it. And that's what people arguing about was the closing of the wells. I think we should be just put down to an area where they're monitored once a year, but not shut down. And that's what we were talking about. But I don't see it here, not in agreement on northern monitoring while sampling. No, that wasn't what we were talking about. Counter proposal in south, it was on all the wells that are being tested now. Should they be allowed, PG&E allowed to shut any one of them down and not use it anymore, which would mean disposing of the well, filling it in, completely is gone, and we'd never be able to use it again. And that's what we were talking about at our table.
Okay. So given that there were three tables, with three different sets of people at each table. We attempted to summarize what we heard and see where there were some common themes. This is a shorthand version of what we thought. Perhaps it requires a little bit more elaboration. I'm looking to some of the other folks that were in the room. And there may be things that were said at your table that were not common amongst all three tables. Kevin? Lori and then Kevin.
This is Lori. I think there's been some, at least at our table, I think there's been some confusion around performance-based versus prescriptive-based, and I know I'm confused about it, and I feel like there is the ability to have a combination, and especially as it relates to what Betty's talking about right now and about monitoring, is that in general there was favor, people understood that there needed to be a prescription or related to sampling, that it's a lot easier to follow a table with wells and frequencies, and recognizing that there can be reasons to reduce the frequency from quarterly to annual or to maybe never again if you've got so many years of non-detects or whatever. But those things to me sound very prescriptive, although they are also related to performance, because as water quality improves and we're achieving our goals, we're seeing performance, therefore there's less monitoring. So in my mind, when I think about this, the monitoring, it's a combination. And people have suggested they want that specificity and triggers. And that's the way I was trying to explain to folks that you don't have to choose one over the other. It's not adaptive management or prescriptive. It's not performance or prescriptive. It can, almost in every situation, be a combination. And I think the public, at least at my table, are interested in seeing the specificity in a lot of situations. Not to say that you can't, it's not a one size fits all. So that part of it, that's what I think is confusing when you just say prescriptive to transition to performance-based requirements. That makes people feel uneasy because they want to know what the wells are going to be sampled in the future. They don't want to just go to something that maybe sounds fuzzier than that.
Okay. Yeah, this is Kevin Sullivan at BG&E, and I wanted to address a very specific comment because I want to make sure that we're clear on the things that we're looking at going forward in this sampling plan. There are two kinds of wells: monitoring wells and domestic wells. And I just want to be really clear that although we're suggesting that there be reductions in some monitoring well sampling, and through the data and the decision tree, that if the data says we don't need to sample it maybe anymore, we won't sample it. But there's no proposal on the table to destroy monitoring wells. I mean, we're not there, And so we might say we don't need to sample this now. But while Dr. Izbicki's doing his work, while the other things are getting clarified, we're not. I don't think anyone technically from the PG&E side is proposing to physically abandon a monitoring well. And we want to save them until we're sure we know what the goals are, we have every last little I dotted and T crossed, and only then would we do it. And I know that that's a sensitive enough topic. We'd want to have a specific discussion about, does everybody agree? I personally think that is 3 to 5 years away at the earliest. Okay. When we have talked about abandoning some domestic wells in the past, and those are wells that were either drilled in the past by homeowners or farmers or whatnot. They were not specifically designed to monitor. Now, we use them sometimes to get data. And some of those we have proposed abandoning because they create a risk of water flow underground. They're not scientifically designed. But even those, we want to be very clear. That's going to be, in my opinion, separate from this CAO. That's going to be a separate question, a separate process, and we're ready to let each one of those stand on their merits. We welcome review by the Water Board technical staff, by the IRP manager, that, you know, we decide that we don't see the benefit of this well, and the risk of having it outweighs the benefit of any data, we'll put that up, and if there's a consensus, then we'll abandon it. And if not, we're happy to not abandon them until such time as there is. So I just, you know, not sampling in our mind is different than abandoning and grouting up the well.
Okay. So for number six, community issues, the complex issues and technical ones need to be broken down for lay people. Identifying tools and information to demonstrate to realtors, banks, etc., what property is safe and not contaminated. The future of Hinckley, rebuild reputation. Clean up an abatement order provides certainty so that the community can grow. Trust is an issue between the community, the water board, and PG&E. IRP manager is doing a good job at this time, and ideas suggested for how the IRP could be the hub of technical and community assistance for the entire community, including individuals using many methods of communication and engagement. Those are some of the themes that we heard amongst the tables.
On section B, Darren Banks, sorry. First of all, that identifying tools and information demonstrate realtors, banks. There's nobody in here, at least, that's not their job. Okay, and secondly, we don't know what properties are safe because Dr. Dysbicki hasn't told us what properties are safe. It doesn't matter if it's 0.02 or 500. If it's PG&E's contamination, then we don't know that. So you're putting, you know, false information if you choose to go that route and go to banks and say, hey, it's safe. And they have legal issues. They have to identify to the people that they're selling to that, you know, hey, there's contamination down here. And I know that PG&E likes to say, hey, 10 is fine and safe, but chromium 6 is chromium 6, and it's their contamination. So that one, it seems ridiculous to even approach. But and then the I think the water board and the IRP need to take a step back and look at and see what their jobs are in this place. Okay, their job's not to guide open discussions about what a community member would like to do or how they would like to pursue something in the future of the community. Because there's very few people that actually, there's probably 4 or 5 people in this entire room that live in the community, but there's a large majority of people in this room that saw this community just 4 years ago. And if you take a mental picture of what that looked like 4 years ago to what it looks like now, you know, the picture that you see is infinitely different from what we see. Okay, we live there. We know what's been done to our community. So the water board has attempted in the past to kind of interject or help out community members to do things for the community, and end up looking foolish. You know, specifically the mess with Mr. White. I mean, it was that they shouldn't have been involved in it. But you help them write the paper to do the work to help get it going. And it was even your own staff brought people to our community to say, you know, this isn't plausible, but you supported it. So I think that you guys need to look and see what your job is. Your job is to ensure that PG&E cleans up their chromium 6 and makes our water hold like it was before. And that's it. That's it.
So that's a summary of the six issues that were discussed earlier today. I think, you know, as I mentioned, there was some synergism that happened. There were some conversations where it sounded like folks were close on some issues that maybe with a little bit of dialogue, maybe there could be some common ground. And we encourage those conversations. Kim, did you want to talk about the next steps, and then we'll go to Pete for some comments?
So for our next steps, We're going to take what we heard today, what we heard in the comments that we, the written comments that we received, the responses that were received, the additional information that was received that we requested the had the questions on, and we're going to revise the order based on all that information. That is going to go out at the end of July. And so then, again, what Gita was saying in terms of, you know, if you have these conversations and have ideas, unfortunately you can't have them with us directly, because that's called ex-parte communication. But what you can do is if you have thoughts and ideas and points of consensus that you come up with, you can forward those to us, but you have to forward it to everyone else too. And we are open to language, to ideas, but we need those by June 19th because we're going to be, in the meantime, revising the order and giving everyone an opportunity to comment on all those revisions. So what we're asking for on June 19th are not comments on the order or anything else. Those are just points of consensus. There will be another opportunity to comment on the revised order, and that's going to be, I think, 45 days after that goes out at the end of July. And then our hope is to then have the board meeting in September at which this item will be heard, and then hopefully have a final order for you. I think that's it in terms of the process. If anyone has any questions.
And if you have any other thoughts, comments, or suggestions or ideas on how to further some of what we've heard today, I'm opening it up to comment now.
Ms. Neymar, will you please clarify the us's again, because there's a lot of people
sure.
in this room who
no,
may not
definitely.
Understand what you meant.
So
and then on to that, in terms of the discussion, the notion that any group or subgroup, I mean, prosecution team, PG&E could get together, you know, just explain all of that.
Okay,
that
sure. It was not clear. Thank you, Lori. And yeah, because a lot of times I deal with this so much, I kind of assume that everybody knows what I'm talking about, just as you guys probably have things that are like that for you. Okay. So the board members, all of the board members, even those that are not here, Patty, myself, Doug Smith, and Rich Booth, we are all part, well, the board members, and then we are part of the advisory team, Patty, Doug, Rich, and I. And so we cannot have communications with anyone on this order unless it's part of open to everybody. So something like this. Or an email that comes to us and includes PG&E and the prosecution team, which is Lori Kemper, and Ann Holden, and Lisa Dernbach, and Anna Catherine Benedict. So it has to, and then PG&E, of course, is the subject of this order. And so any PG&E and the prosecution team and the public, you all can have conversations together. And you guys can talk about this all you want. But it just can't include the board members or members of the advisory team unless everybody is included in that conversation. Does that make sense, or is that so confusing? Lori? Do you want to help me out with what I'm missing?
I think Kim pretty much explained that. Circles. I mean, the point being that Kevin and I could meet and we could talk about some solutions. You know, we could say, okay, we're really close on the monitoring. We think if we just met and came up with a plan, we could submit that to the group. And I think the best way to submit it to the group is not have everybody's email addresses
But if we use the Water Board's enforcement email address,
which is on the flyer, request for comments,
then that goes to Sue, our executive assistant, who would then disseminate.
I have everyone's email address, and I send it out.
So then she'd send it out to everybody. So everybody would know that Kevin and I had an idea that we wanted the advisory team to think about. You know, maybe it's a section of the proposed cleanup order that we, you know, revise or edit or something like that. So the same thing could happen between, you know, Penny Harper and Darren Banks, or Penny Harper and me. Or, and so it's, when Kim says that we can all talk to each other, I mean, that was the confusing part, because that's what we're doing today. We're all talking to each other, and they're here, and that's the way it goes. But the point is that it's okay for these individual or sidebar conversations with anybody here in the room, you know, separate from the advisory group. So that's, I think, when you guys said something about we're encouraging you all to talk more, I mean, I think they really are saying they're looking for ideas and solutions and even some suggested changes or language that then, as long as you just identify, you know, where that came from and who was in support of that idea, that gives the advisory team some additional information when they craft a new revised order that will also go out for everybody again for public comment.
And just to finish the process part, so all these ideas will come to the board in that new revised draft, but the board may or may not vote in favor of it. Not all the board is here. Again, we said earlier, the people here couldn't make any promises on behalf of the board. So just understand that even though you guys all may think it's a good idea and everyone agree, that doesn't necessarily make it so, although it makes it really likely if everyone is in favor of it.
It's seven.
Hang on.
In the spirit of the last conversation, then I want to request a formal request that your technical exchange meetings, I guess what they're called, at one point we were promised to be able to be on phone just to listen, and then we requested a detail of the conversation. And this has been well over a year at this, it's been about a year and a half. At one time in that time period, we've received one response from that, and it was an outline. We talked about this, and this, and this. So it told us nothing of the discussion. And so if that statement is true, we would like a detail of what you and PG&E discuss in Lake Tahoe during your technical exchange meetings, whether audio, video, or somebody typing it out, everything that everybody says, so that we may read it and discuss at our meetings.
So the ex-party rules only apply to pending matters, so we do not discuss the cleanup and abatement order at all during those meetings.
There's been orders directly from those meetings, and letters written directly from those meetings, so actions have been taken directly from those meetings, so that's not a true statement. It's very true.
Well, no, the cleanup and abatement order is what's pending, so things may come out of those discussions, but there's nothing pending before the board at the time.
But when you change an order from a letter that comes from that, I mean, the community should know about it. And we were promised that we would get those detailed conversations by the executive officer. So
I don't know, how do you want to...
And there's probably five people here that heard the promise, so...
This is Patty Cuyum, John. And Darren, we discussed this. I know numerous times I've written letters to the CAC about this as well. We do have technical meetings with PG&E, and we do not discuss things that require action. It is truly a technical meeting, and we do have minutes, and that's what we agree to in the letter I sent. And every time we have a meeting, it's sent to Ian, and it's my understanding that gets disseminated. So we have followed through with what we said we would do with those meetings.
We have been like,
yes.
I'll give you an example. PG&E brought water flow maps, and from those water flow maps, you make determinations on boundaries and borders of the plume. So actions were taken directly from those meetings. Your staff told me that it was discussed. So, and the letters came directly from those meetings. So
we do have technical discussions, and we do this with other dischargers and other things on a regular basis, and we traditionally do not have those open to the public. But this is one we've taken the extra step by writing up the minutes and sharing it with you each. So, and that's in the letter that I sent previously. So.
Are there any other questions?
This is Anna Catherine Bendick. So I was just wondering, are we going to have hearing procedures issued before the September hearing then?
Yes, before the September hearing, we'll, I think at the when we issue the July draft, that we'll have some sort of procedures that will come out of that too.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. And then the June 19th, it's by the end of day, you go on all written 5 o'clock, right? Okay,
yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And again, that June 19th is not another comment period on the drafts. It's just for
consensus only, right?
Right. And it's, yeah.
I got it. Yeah.
Yeah, this is Kevin Sullivan, PG&E. I kind of have three procedural questions that I'd like to kind of get the advisory team's thoughts on while we're here, we're all together. Thanks for the June 19th heads up. We're heading into some times of summer holidays and whatnot. So, number one, if there's consensus developing on June 20th, can you just help me understand a little bit about the need for a deadline and why that is? And number two, are there particular areas that you guys, that the advisory team, from what you heard today, I'm taking this that you're essentially saying we think you might be close and maybe you could get language that we would be inclined to adopt. I'm wondering if you could, we covered a lot of ground today. We all heard a little different things. And I'm wondering if you might have any thoughts or suggestions as to where you thought those, you know, why don't you guys get together and try to light a section on law, right? And then I guess my last kind of observation and question is that crafting an order like this is really hard, and I want to actually thank the prosecution team for making a first shot that we've all been looking at for the last few months. It's hard to get on paper the concepts that we talk about and then understand all the unintended consequences of the words that are written on the page. That's what reviews are for, and I'm wondering, after the advisory team's draft comes out at the end of July, are there any thoughts we talked about sort of an implementation session where, you know, we just have a dialogue like this that says things like, okay, you wrote section 1, 2, 3. I am reading that to mean da 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 da. And again, not so much heavy edits, but just sort of a feedback that the words on this page seem to me to communicate X or Y, Z. So I'm just wondering if you've given any thought to the post-July process, and if there is a formal process where, at that point, we're just straight written letters.
Okay, so for the first question, in terms of the deadline, it's not a hard deadline, but we are trying to get something out by the end of July in order to have a meaningful comment period and have a September board meeting. So I don't think that we would shut down something that was well thought out and brought to us. And if it made sense, you know, then I don't think that we would shut something out. But, I mean, we're trying to meet deadlines, too. So if it was past that deadline, then it would be harder for us to perhaps consider. But and if you want to give us a heads up, that would be helpful, you know. Maybe an email that said, hey, we feel like we're getting close on this issue. As in terms of what issues parties seem close on, maybe I'll let some of the other facilitators talk, but it seemed to me that the northern and western areas, that was something that seemed kind of a lot closer to me than I thought the parties were. And then also the MRP, the monitoring reporting program, it sounded like there were some parts that were everyone was agreement in. And I don't know, Doug, did you want to?
Sure, I'll add something. There was an area that I thought I sensed a willingness to have further talk amongst parties, and it was dealing with the adaptive management and what that means, especially with the remediation goals, to try to just kind of further talk about that as part of and figuring out what the deadlines mean on that.
And then, I'm sorry, remind me of the last question. The post. I think our thought was we would just have a comment period again on those changes, and then the final order. I think the board, I won't speak for them, but has been open to, you know, if things are moving along, if there seems to be coming together on ideas. September is not a hard line in the sand necessarily, but we do want to move things along so that we can all have a cleanup and abatement order in place and get stuff going.
This is Patty. If I could add one more, I also saw a lot of consensus on the role of independent technical advisor for the community, that there seemed a lot of themes for what that role would look like.
And I guess maybe, too, another time for the implementation might be even after the order is adopted. You know, there might be a time period of sitting down and talking about what that means. But beforehand is probably a good idea, too.
Any other questions, comments, thoughts?
Yeah, we encourage you to open up the floor now. So these are just some of the themes, of course, clearly not all of them. But if you have any comments, suggestions, ideas here or otherwise, we've heard some other ideas that are not here, I'm opening up, you know, we want to open the floor to have people talk about some of these, if you want to.
The musical chairs this morning was exhausting, I know, for this afternoon. Closing comments. Kate, would you like to say anything?
Well, here's a surprise. First of all, I'd like to say that I'm really in awe of Board Member Jardine's ability to fly below the radar. And I need to pay attention to how he does that. As Ms. Niemeyer pointed out, and I'm glad she did, you all need to understand that there were no decisions made here today. There's not going to be any decisions made by anybody except by the board when the board hears the proposed order, whenever it is. Hopefully it's in September, but it's a decision that is made by forum of the board. And that's why, as individual board members, we were here individually, because we don't represent the board today. I think I can say that the board is grateful for everybody took the time, and continues to take the time. It sounds like they're willing to take the time some more to talk about these issues and to see if they can come to a meeting of the minds on at least some aspects of what we're talking about. I feel very confident that everyone on the board really, truly appreciates the energy that you put into this. And I'm very encouraged when I got here earlier this evening and was sort of wandering around, I heard over and over again, maybe 4, 5, 6 times, people use the phrase, the gap wasn't as large as I thought it was. They weren't as far apart as I thought they might be. And I find that incredibly encouraging. I really want to thank
Nita for putting together a format that allowed us to come to that realization this afternoon and this evening. It's a tremendous achievement, and she did a really wonderful job along with the facilitators and note takers, and so thank you. Thank you all. Godspeed. Keep at it. We're getting closer. And this is a really great way, I think, to come to a consensus about how we're supposed to go forward, because it allows us to bring it all together as opposed to, okay, here it is, deal with it. And so I look forward to seeing the products of your continued conversations. Thanks very, very much.
So unless there's any other comments, I thank you all for your participation today. Did you want to say something? Please go ahead.
Can you put it closer to your mouth so we can hear?
Thank you, Pete. I think we are closer. This community is closer. All the entities.
Oh, Don, can you speak up even louder? The court reporter cannot hear you.
Thank you. I think this is, we are a lot closer than I suspected when I first walked in. And I think everyone, at least at our table, were very forward, very productive. And, I think I'm just looking forward to some constructive dialogue in the near future. And thank you all.
I'm good.
Thank you all. Just thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Ian.
So as the kind of currently assigned IRP manager, I also reflect and applaud the remarks that were made just now. I think there is a, coming to these meetings, I always look for the degree of tension, degree of alignment, and the cone's getting tighter towards the end of the tunnel here. In my role, and the team of the IRP managers team to support the community, there was a very definite scope at the beginning when we were brought on, which was kind of technical issues only. And for those of you who have been through the roughly 30 community meetings we've talked at, we've held over 200 individual meetings. We've talked to 60 folks in the community over and over again in their homes. The topics have naturally early on been focused on the technical aspects of the mission of our routine, such as plume definition, how do you even measure and analyze for chrome and brown water, what's this finger, what's hydraulic control, what's the Thompson Road barrier, how does the IRZ work, what does ethanol do, I go on and on and on. But as the time has, in the past 3 years, as things have evolved, there is, and there's been a spirited debate within the folks we've talked to about technical issues, but there's been a migration now, I think, towards things associated with the future. And the future has been mentioned in the handout tonight. So I think one of the things that the folks who are custodying this project along in the interface between that's PG&E and the Water Board interact over technical issues, the IRP manager function, I use the word IRP manager function, has been strongly asked to give input on the future of Hinkley. How does the remedy that is going to be here for a long, long time, how does that interact with the future of the community, such as farming issues, water management, where Highway 58 is going, the real estate market is going to be interested in the future here. So I think one of the things to recognize is the IRP manager was retained, I think, initially as a technical resource. But from my position, I think some flexibility needs to be given to the IRP functionality, use the word IRP functionality, to offer advice to the community on some of these topics I just mentioned that are not hard technical topics, but are softer more towards the aspects of living in Hinkley in the long-term future. So that's my kind of conclusionary remark.
Yeah, I don't who's going to help with this or how it's going to get solved. But we can't have a future in Hinckley. There's no future in Hinckley if we can't get across to the public that we are not contaminated, that our water isn't going to kill anybody, that we live in a really nice area and our water is okay, and our water isn't this and our water isn't that. Nobody wants to live out here because they think, start drinking the water and their family's going to kill over. And we can't do anything if we don't have some help and support from the water board and from G&E to get this message across so that those of us that are left behind, who are happy to stay in Hinckley and want to stay in Hinckley, can stay in Hinckley. And we can conduct our business like normal people. If we want to sell our house, we can sell it without every mortgage person going, no, we're not interested in you. No, we're not interested in handling this. No, no. That's all I get when I call. I've been trying to get a reverse mortgage. Well, it's not possible. Nobody wants that they would if I was living in Barstow, but 10 miles away from Barstow, and Barstow water is coming from 300 feet from my house, but I can't, and still can't, get them to understand that I have good water. I have fine water, and I don't have anything wrong with my water. My water is fine. It's been tested and tested and tested. It's good. But I need some help, because I am obviously not big enough to do this by myself, and I know I'm not the only person who has faith in this problem. I need some help.
Anybody else wish to say anything? So I want to reiterate that we've posted somewhere. Oh, at the very bottom is the email address where your comments need to go by June 19th, and by close of business June 19th, so that they can get distributed to everybody. I thank you all for your participation all day today. Give yourselves a round of applause. Job well done. And until next time.